Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. And have you heard the reporting about the mid-air deaths of birds at solar energy plants? Well, the stories are shocking and reminiscent of science fiction because the birds are being incinerated while in flight due to the intense heat they fly into. The birds actually get burned to a point where they start smoking, so says the reporting, and they fall to the ground either dead or nearly so. These unfortunate victims have been called streamers. So what is going on and why is this coming to our attention now? To explore what looks to be another chapter in the bird versus technology saga, I am very pleased to welcome Dr. Michael Hutchins, who is National Coordinator, Bird Smart Wind Energy Campaign with the American Bird Conservancy. Hi, Michael.
Thanks, Peter. I'm really happy to be here today.
We are too. And, let's talk about these recent media reports, please, on the birds being killed at solar energy facilities, and particularly the one in California has come to light. Can you give us a summary of the current situation, please?
Sure. Certainly in the last few weeks, there's been a flurry of media attention on bird losses at three solar plants in California. There was an Associated Press article associated with this, and they reported for anywhere from 1,000 to 28,000 birds per year being killed at the Bright Source Concentrated Solar Energy Plant, also known as Ivanpah. The deaths of endangered species, particularly the Yuma clapper rail, has stimulated a federal investigation by the National Fish and Wildlife Forensics Lab, which subsequently issued a report expressing concern about these mortalities and speculating about the reasons for the losses. You know, the report also made recommendations for needed mitigation and research. And this report eventually culminated in a lawsuit by the Center for Biological Diversity, which is, you know, challenging the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to act on violations of the Endangered Species Act. And more specifically, what they're asking is for the service to look more closely at the potential unexpected impacts of large commercial solar energy plants on birds, and particularly at threatened and endangered species like the Yuma clapper rail and the yellow-billed cuckoo, which is an ESA candidate species.
Incredible. And so you've mentioned two specific species. Are those the main ones that are on the radar screen right now?
Well, actually, those are the main ones that have been identified that are threatened or endangered that are being impacted right now. But there's a wide variety of birds being taken at these plants. So, there are a number of different species that are being killed by solar.
How about in terms of overall quantity? How many birds are being killed? Who's counting? And are the estimates similar to what was proposed before the facilities were constructed?
No, this is pretty unexpected. You know, and at this point, we don't know for sure what the toll on birds is at the nation's existing solar plants. But, you know, it's large enough to have generated considerable concern, you know, especially since some of the victims have been threatened or endangered species. The people that are collecting this information have included federal investigators, but much of this is done through self-reporting of the energy facilities themselves. Now, the figures that the AP article threw out were kind of based on some projections that a scientist by the name of Sean Smallwood did based on the number of birds that had been killed. And he suggested as many as 28,000 birds per year could be lost at this single facility. However, we really don't know very much right now. Further research is needed to obtain a better estimate of the actual numbers being taken. And according to the National Fish and Wildlife Forensics report, a whole wide variety of species is being taken. So there's not going to really be a simple fix to this. We need to know a lot more about what's going on.
Yes, and this this situation where their numbers are not known or there are widely varying estimates. Boy, we've heard that before in similar instances. How exactly do these solar energy facilities kill the birds? How do they operate, and what's happening to those birds?
Well, there's a couple of different types of solar facilities. There's one that's based on these photovoltaic panels, which directly convert the energy from the sun into electricity. And there's ones like Ivanpah, which are, mirrors that reflect sunlight into a beam that's used to heat water and drive a generator. There's a variety of different types. How is it killing birds? It's very interesting. These large arrays of reflective mirrors or photovoltaic panels that are used to collect solar energy are what we call an evolutionary trap for birds. And evolutionary traps are human-made objects or structures that, kind of trigger instinctive adaptive responses in animals that in this context are not adaptive and can lead to injury or death. So one example I'd like to give is sea turtles. Sea turtles often eat plastic bags that are floating in the ocean because they resemble jellyfish, their natural prey. But if they eat enough of these plastic bags, it can cause them to die from intestinal blockage. So it's an evolutionary trap. So in the case of large solar arrays, birds and insects perceive these things as bodies of water to which they're attracted. And in fact, this is called the lake effect, quote unquote, because it looks like a lake to them. And birds are then subsequently incinerated when they land on the panels or the mirrors, or they fly through concentrated beams of sunlight in the cases of those, the ones that are used to concentrate sunlight and to heat water. They can also be crushed from impact with the panels, the mirrors, or the ground when they land on the substrates when they're, thinking that they're going to be landing on water. So there are a variety of ways that they can be impacted by this.
Right. That could be quite shocking if you think you're about to make a soft landing and you hit one of those photovoltaic cells.
Exactly.
You mentioned insects. Is there a concern about does anyone concern about insect populations, or they're just really sort of attracting the birds?
Well, the concern is it's an evolutionary trap for insects as well. I mean, insects are, a lot of them are highly abundant, so we don't really know much about the impact. But the fact that insects are attracted to these areas could also attract birds and bats. That's the major concern.
Yes. So talk about the relative impact of the amount of birds that are being killed in these facilities compared to other things that kill birds, like the collisions with buildings or pesticides or even wind farms. How big a problem would you estimate this is?
Well, we don't know yet because we don't have that much experience with this unexpected source of mortality for birds. Now, we hear this a lot, these comparisons between different anthropogenic or human-caused factors that are killing our nation birds. And some of these, no doubt, result in the deaths of, vastly more birds than solar does or wind. And these include things like feral cats, pesticides, collisions with buildings. All of these are major sources of mortality for birds. But my response is, so what? Why are we making these comparisons? The number of solar-related bird deaths don't appear to be trivial, so why shouldn't we be concerned about them, especially since the solar industry is expected to grow exponentially in the coming decades, and this could greatly magnify the risks. So in addition, if some of the species being taken are threatened or endangered, then there's even more reason to worry about this, because even a loss of a few individuals is significant. The clapper rail that we just talked about, the Yuma clapper rail, for example, is highly endangered. There's less than 1,000 individuals remaining. Hmm. And then lastly, the impacts of all these human-caused sources of bird mortality are cumulative, and they're unsustainable. So my question is, why wouldn't we try to address all major sources of bird mortality? You know, our nation's birds and bats shouldn't be collateral damage in our war against climate change, and especially if a lot of these conflicts can be easily resolved through better science and regulation.
Very good. We're speaking with Michael Hutchins. You're listening to Animals Today. Please stay with us. We've got more with Michael Hutchins right after the break. Thank you.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the stage. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Grainger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Grainger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com/airhandler or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heal on Wheels. Wait, Heal on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
Big news. Sprint's offering the hottest deal in wireless. Switch your whole family up to 10 lines to Sprint and get unlimited talk, text, and 20 gigabytes of high-speed data to share for only $100 a month for your whole account. It's double the high-speed data of the other guys for a family of four. Verizon and AT&T charge $160 and T-Mobile charges $100, and they just give you 10 gigabytes. But with Sprint, you get 20 gigabytes. That's two times the data. To make it easier, we'll even buy out your family's contract up to $350 per line. The Sprint Family Share Pack. Only $100 a month for the whole family up to 10 lines, including unlimited talk and text on America's newest network. Simply put, it's the hottest deal in wireless. So come into a Sprint store today.
Ends 9/30/14. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Subject to credit and line port in. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, international premium content. Price promo through 2015. After 2015, also pay $15 a month per line access charge, $350 via Visa prepaid card, and requires online registration. Comparison is to 10 gigabyte high-speed 3 and 4G plans for 4 lines. Other data options available. Prohibited network use rules, prioritization, and throughput reduction applies. Comparison includes additional 2 gigabyte Sprint and 1 gigabyte Verizon data promos. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Michael Hutchins with American Bird Conservancy. And we were speaking about the problem with the solar power facilities, these huge ones. They use either photovoltaic cells or they use reflecting mirrors, and birds are attracted to these facilities and they are dying. We're trying to get a hold of the magnitude of this problem. And Michael, what sort of possible solutions can you envision as we learn more about what's happening here?
Yeah, obviously we need to find solutions to this because we don't want to be losing particularly threatened and endangered species of birds. Now, the most obvious solution that I can think of would be to find a way to ensure that birds do not perceive solar arrays as large bodies of water. So this might involve retrofitting the panels or the mirrors to change their appearance so that they look differently to birds. That might be one of the solutions. There are lots of other potential forms of mitigation. Sighting might be an issue where we put these things, you know, so that birds don't fly over them and don't, you know, aren't attracted to them. However, you know, they probably see these panels from long distances away, so that may not help too much. But there are other things that could keep them away, like the proper nighttime lighting that does not attract birds or insects, habitat management in the vicinity of the plant, again, to reduce certain types of vegetation or water that might attract the animals. And then suspending operations at key migratory times might also be useful. However, I've got to say that very little is currently known, about the efficacy of these mitigation methods. Even though they're touted by industry as being very effective, they all have to be tested systematically using good science before they can truly be promoted as effective solutions to these issues.
Indeed, we've heard a lot of stories before, and we've watched even over the course of the history of Animals Today how birds around airports are, that whole situation continues to be a challenge for everybody.
It is, and much progress has been made on those issues, however, with integrated types of management that help to keep birds away from airports and to reduce the risk to air travelers.
So as we are developing the various modalities of green energy, and obviously we're going to have greater number of these, as you mentioned before, how are we going to protect our wildlife and our birds from these growing plants as they expand exponentially?
Well, we talked a little bit about what some of the solutions might be, but there has to be a lot of research done and fairly quickly because we are moving very rapidly towards renewable energy. Siting beak could be a big part of this issue with wind. We're not putting wind farms into areas that are, not attracting birds. We are putting them in sensitive areas for birds. And in fact, we're going to be talking more about this very soon because we've just done a study looking at the placement of wind turbines in sensitive bird areas. So the same might be true of solar, that we really need to look hard at where we're putting them. But these mitigation efforts, I think we need some research on this very quickly to try to understand, what's attracting the birds, how we can keep them away from these areas. There might be deterrents that we could use, for instance. I heard somebody suggest drones the other day as a possible deterrent. I don't know if that'll work. We hear methodologies every other week somebody comes up with an idea of how to keep birds away from wind farms and from solar panels, but again, all of these things need to be tested for their efficacy, so more research is necessary as quickly as we possibly can because these sources of energy are being built extremely rapidly.
Well, Michael,
once
we look forward
up,
to
they're not coming down.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, I hear you. Once they're up, they're not coming down. We hear you loud and clear on that. So, Michael Hutchins, we appreciate you coming on and giving us the latest on that. We look forward to having you return when we have more more news about this, okay?
Absolutely. I'd love to talk to you again.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Peter.
A couple of good videos this week.
Oh, tell me.
I think you saw this one. There's two cats, and one of them is sort of sitting a little bit higher than the other, and he's got this little cat toy, a little rod and a string and a little toy at the end, stricken at the end of it. And he is actually teasing or pulling it away from the other cat. He's like figured out how to manipulate this rod and the string and playing with the cat.
I saw that. It was adorable.
He obviously knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And playing as if he were a person playing with this cat.
Right.
It was the most incredible thing.
Yeah, I know.
So what do you think about that?
I don't know. It's very funny. I wasn't sure when I first saw that. Did he know what he was doing? He was trying to play with the cat, or was he just playing with the stick and it happened to be attached to that toy or the feather at the end of the stick?
I think he knew what he was doing.
Okay.
Then I saw a couple of very cute piglet videos. I mean, they are the cutest little things.
I know.
And the one I saw just this morning was a 6 or 7 second video of a cute little thing romping in the grass. And it is the most delightful thing. And then the other ones going around too of how everyone says, oh, they're so cute, and then they see the comments like on social media, oh, that's going to be my dinner, or it's bacon. Or,
yeah, that's so obnoxious.
And it is obnoxious.
Yeah.
But it is, it does make you think a little bit, or at least it should.
It sure does.
Okay, another not-so-happy video. You know, this ice bucket challenge that everyone has sort of taken over the universe. Some animals are now being involved in ice bucket challenges, and this one young guy is throwing his dog into a bucket of water as a kind of ice bucket challenge, just to illustrate the another variation of animal abuse that can pop up anywhere. It was quite sickening. I hope they find out who this kid was. He did post it.
Well, he's an ignorant idiot.
Yeah. Speaking of ignorant idiots, oh, that's a good segue. A fortunate 24-year-old woman at the Henry Vilas Zoo in Madison, Wisconsin, climbed over a fence in the giraffe enclosure and then got halfway over another fence. A giraffe licked her. Giraffe licked her, then kicked her in the face. And fortunately, she got out of there.
Was she mentally stable?
She says she loves giraffes.
She wanted to hug the giraffe.
Something along those lines. And this was very, very risky because giraffes can kill you with their kick. They kick forward. They can kill a lion with one stroke.
Wow.
And so she's really lucky to get out of there alive. So don't mess with, I mean, they are beautiful, right? And everyone wants to hug a giraffe. Well, most some people do. Don't do it.
Wow. Was she cited for any violation?
Yes. $686 ticket for harassment of zoo animals.
Good. Very good. I'm flat broke, but I don't care. I strut right by with my tail in the air. Trick cat strut, I'm a police cat. Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at AIAnimals.org.
All you ladies and gents out there enjoying the smooth sounds of the interwebs radio, Geico's got a special dedication to make. This one goes out to the inventors of the mouse. Because of you and your rodent-inspired design, people can click on over to Geico.com to pay their bills, manage their claims, and live lives of pure savings. Mouse Masters, you've clicked your way into our hearts for good. Enjoy this next song. It's going out to you. Geico, 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze, maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backaches, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. For a limited time, Sam's Club members get a special savings book with more than $5,000 in extra savings. Make it a great weekend with Pepsi, Hefty Supreme plates, and Bounty paper towels, all at members-only prices. Come into Sam's Club today to get your savings book with more than $5,000 in extra savings. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
At the Home Depot, buy one or more pallets of GAF Royal Sovereign 3-tab shingles and save up to 20%. Let's raise the roof, but lower the cost with bulk pricing on GAF, America's number one shingle, featuring advanced protection technology. This is worth shouting from the rooftops. Let's do this. Up to 20% off one or more pallets of select GAF shingles. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through September 17th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Welcome back to Animals Today. You may not be aware of this, but the use of live animals in medical education and training is gradually being phased out. And of course, we support this progress. Now, we just learned about another victory thanks to the work of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM. And to describe what has happened, we're very pleased to welcome a good friend of the show, Dr. John Pippin, Director of Academic Affairs at PCRM. John, welcome.
Hi, Laurie. It's great to be back. It's always fun to be on your program.
Thanks, John. We love having you. John, we just learned about the new happenings at SUNY Upstate Medical School. Would you please describe the situation there?
SUNY Upstate is it's in Syracuse. It has, until recently, used live pigs in the training of its emergency medicine resident physicians. So this is not a medical school program per se. SUNY's medical school doesn't use animals, but the emergency medicine residency program. Well, once we at the Physicians Committee became aware of that, we started communicating with them and providing information, as we always do, about why this is not the best way to train, why obviously it's very cruel, and propose a win-win solution by replacing the use of the pigs.
What exactly were they using these pigs for, John?
Well, as I said, they were using them to train their emergency medicine physicians, and they would teach them things like how to insert a chest tube, how to cut into the chest. It's called a thoracotomy, and open the chest wall, how to cut down on veins on the legs and arms, how to do what's called peritoneal lavage, which is injecting fluid into the abdomen and then with removing it to look for cells or blood or other things, usually after trauma. Cutting a hole in the throat, cricothyroidotomy, emergency procedure to restore an airway, and certain other kinds of intubation. And all of these things, as you know from previous times we visited, all these things can be accomplished without the use of animals, and in the large majority of programs is accomplished without the use of animals.
John, in one of your press releases, it stated that what they were doing was in violation of the Animal Welfare Act. Can you tell me how that is?
Sure. There are a number of features of the Animal Welfare Act. One of them that has been around since the first iteration of the Animal Welfare Act is that a principal investigator or someone submitting an animal use protocol to the Institutional Animal Care and Use Committee must have done an honest and thorough literature search looking for alternatives to the use of animals, and must report on that literature search and either report that there is no viable alternative or that there are alternatives, in which case they need to explain why they don't want to use them. Well, they did a phony literature search, I guess the best way to say it. The principal investigator wrote in his protocol that no other model exists, this is a quote, no other model exists currently for the training of these procedures. Well, that's absurd. You know, most programs already use other methods to train these procedures, so that's clearly a falsehood. And also, we looked at his literature search, and he did not even use search terms simulator or simulation. Now, it's not possible in the 21st century to do a search for replacements for these kinds of procedures without looking at simulators and simulation opportunities. And he did not do that. Now, I'm not going to say he excluded it on purpose, because he wouldn't have been able to explain all the alternatives out there and why he didn't want to use them, but you can draw your own conclusions. The fact is that this was a violation of the Animal Welfare Act because it was not a complete and thorough review of the literature. The fault, in legal terms, lies not solely with the investigator, but also with the Animal Care and Use Committee, because it's their role to enforce the Animal Welfare Act, and they should have denied this protocol in the beginning because he did not look for alternatives.
Yes. So are other emergency medicine programs training on animals as well?
Yes, there are some others. We've been fortunate in recent months to have been able to take five or six of them off that list, but there's still we're still aware of about a dozen that are using animals, and there are some programs who have not yet responded to our inquiries, have not been willing to give us information about their program. So there's probably some others out there we're not aware of. But what we're doing while we continue to try to complete our investigation is we are addressing the ones that we know are using animals.
It also states in your press release, John, after filing our complaint with the USDA, SUNY Upstate announced that it had decided to replace the use of animals with more valuable teaching methods. Can you describe what these methods are?
Well, they didn't say, but we think they are the ones we recommended to them. Specific simulators that are designed to do this, various teaching modes, including actors behaving as patients and observed and participatory actions by the residents in the emergency room and other situations, the standard sorts of procedures that are done in other programs. And by the way, Lori, that was a quote that you said. And it's gratifying to us that after more than a year of trying to get them to even talk to us, they finally, up out of the blue, decided that there is a better way to do it if they had made the switch. So that's gratifying. Not that they play possum, but that they actually did do the right thing.
John, what other animals are used in medical training programs, and what are they being used for?
Well, it's interesting that 2014, now virtually no animals are being used in the programs we're addressing, medical schools, residency training, trauma training programs and such, other than pigs. The use of dogs and cats, as you know, used to be common, but the last dog lab in an American medical school ended in December 2007, January 2008, right in there. And right now we're dealing with programs in all of these areas that are using pigs. And pigs, of course, are no better for that training than using dogs or cats and other animals. But I think these programs are trying to avoid criticism from companion animal lovers around the country. But it doesn't matter. It's still bad science. It's still bad ethics. And we're eventually going to change all of them.
John, why is PCRM so interested in alternatives to using anesthetized animals and then killing them before they wake up, considering the huge size of our pork consumption and how terribly they're treated and how many are killed every day? Explain to a skeptic why this matters.
Well, what you're really asking is, why are we focusing on one area of abuse and misuse of animals instead of on an area that has much higher numbers associated with it? And the reasons are, first of all, we're a scientific and medical-based organization. We're founded and still managed by physicians and scientists, and this is our area of expertise, medical school training, graduate training, trauma training, a variety of educational methods, military trauma training included, and this is where we're having success. You could say that those of us who are on the advocacy side have many things we could choose. We tend to choose the ones that, first of all, don't have anybody else who can effectively battle them. And there are many out there, of course, who are addressing issues of factory farming and so on. But also, areas that not only can we win, but that by winning will begin to change the status of animals in that category. For instance, I think it would be unheard of right now for a medical school to open in this country and use animals. It's just kind of a dark box to go into. The last 32 medical schools to open in this country have not used animals at any point since they opened. That's since 1979. So it's two things. Number one, to change the way the teaching is done, and number two is to change the way the use of animals is viewed in the medical community.
Yes. Now, when I went to med school, we were doing physiology labs using live animals. Are they, you mentioned the ones that are opening up are not using live animals. How about the existing ones?
Well, there's only one medical school in the U.S. and Canada still using animals to teach physiology, and that's the University of Mississippi in Jackson. There are three others using animals to teach surgery, and that's out of a total of 187 accredited medical schools. So it's virtually gone. There is just the occasional holdouts who are hunkered down and don't want to address the current state of medical education. And don't want someone from the outside suggesting that they do it differently. But we're going to win. It's just a question of when.
Dr. John Pippin, we just love your wonderful work with PCRM. Thank you so much for coming on Animals Today.
I appreciate it. I'd love to come back anytime.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze. Maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backache, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. For a limited time, Sam's Club members get a special savings book with more than $5,000 in extra savings. Make it a great weekend with Pepsi, Hefty Supreme plates, and Bounty paper towels, all at members-only prices. Come into Sam's Club today to get your savings book with more than $5,000 in extra savings. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Big news. Sprint's offering the hottest deal in wireless. Switch your whole family up to 10 lines to Sprint and get unlimited talk, text, and 20 gigabytes of high-speed data to share for only $100 a month for your whole account. It's double the high-speed data of the other guys for a family of four. Verizon and AT&T charge $160 and T-Mobile charges $100, and they just give you 10 gigabytes. But with Sprint, you get 20 gigabytes. That's two times the data. To make it easier, we'll even buy out your family's contract up to $350 per line. The Sprint Family Share Pack. Only $100 a month for the whole family up to 10 lines, including unlimited talk and text on America's newest network. Simply put, it's the hottest deal in wireless. So come into a Sprint store today.
It's 9/30/14. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Subject to credit. New line port in. Excludes taxes, surcharges, roaming, international premium content. Price promo through 2015. After 2015, also pay $15 a month per line access charge. $350 via Visa prepaid card and requires online registration. Comparison is to 10 gigabyte high-speed 3 and 4G plans for 4 lines. Other data options available. Prohibited network use rules, prioritization, and throughput reduction applies. Comparison excludes additional 2 gigabyte Sprint and 1 gigabyte Verizon data promos. Restrictions apply.
All you ladies and gents out there enjoying the smooth sounds of the interwebs radio, Geico's got a special dedication to make. This one goes out to the inventors of the mouse. Because of you and your rodent-inspired design, people can click on over to Geico.com to pay their bills, manage their claims, and live lives of pure savings. Mouse Masters, you've clicked your way into our hearts for good. Enjoy this next song. It's going out to you. Geico, 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Animals in the news. Go, Peter.
Go. In December 2013, the Phoenix City Council passed a ban on the sale of dogs and cats in pet stores. Do you know that?
I know that. I love that.
Yes. Well, there's more to the story now. So before it was enacted, a stay of this ban was obtained, and now there is a lot of opposition and pushback to this ban, because these are obviously becoming more and more popular as a mechanism to restrict the flow of purchased and bred dogs and cats.
So let me guess, opposition and pushback from the pet industry.
You better believe it. And they are a coalition representing a store in Phoenix called Puppies in Love, consisting of the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council, the American Pet Products Association, the Pet Industry Distributors Association, and the World Pet Association. All are coming together, raising $125,000 to fight this ban. And they are very concerned that these bans are going to prevent their operations. So, one of the spokesperson, Ken O, who is a chairman of one of these one of these organizations, he said, and I'll give a quote, direct quote from him: "If we are successful in overturning the Phoenix ban with this lawsuit, it could encourage others to challenge pet sale bans and give cities nationwide pause on passing similar bans." So they've got a big picture strategy in mind there to prevent these bans, which we found to be pretty successful and pretty good mechanism to decrease the flow of purchased dogs and cats, many of which, by the way, end up in our shelters, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You can't have a pet store without selling dogs and cats. Why do you need to sell dogs and cats?
Oh, you...
Was it?
Wow, my goodness.
And wasn't there also a quote in one of those articles that you had on the table, something about don't the reminiscence of walking by when you were a kid and putting your nose up to the glass, saying a puppy in the window.
I know.
Something silly like that.
The bad old days.
The bad old days.
I know.
Aren't we going to miss that?
Yes.
No, we're not going to miss that. Not if it's going to save thousands of lives.
Let you know what happens with that. There's going to be a trial, apparently.
Wow.
And it's going to be big.
Wow.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Now, you've tried to speak with some of the city council members who passed this.
Yes, the city council members and the mayor who was instrumental in passing the initial ban on the sale of puppies, kittens, and bunnies in the stores in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I tried to get one of them on the show, and it's bad timing for them because they're in the middle of this lawsuit. So I think they were advised that it's best to not speak at this time. We'll get him on.
Okay.
We'll get him.
SeaWorld News. There's a law firm, a New York law firm. They are considering a class action lawsuit against SeaWorld. They're preparing a securities class action suit on behalf of purchasers of SeaWorld common stock to recover their investment losses related to decreased profitability following the Blackfish film. So the Rosen Law Firm in New York is asking if you've lost some money to contact them and join their class. How about that? We reached out for a comment, and what was their comment? No comment. They didn't really want to talk to us.
No, they didn't.
Quite yet. It must be those poor class action lawyers. What a tough, tough job. In the Del Mar racetrack, the horses continue to die. We spoke with our friends from Horse Racing Wrongs recently. Take a listen to the August 10th show, where we talk about these horses just dying right on the track or related to their training. And now the 16th horse of this season is dead.
So sad.
So that is really crazy that we are still supporting horse racing. And so really people need to get educated. And if you are cooking cobra and you're a Chinese chef, you have to make sure that the head is quite dead before you pick it up, because there was this chef, he was preparing the rest of the snake meat, and about 20 minutes later, picked up the reptile's head to throw it in the trash. The reptile's head bit him, injected the venom, and shortly thereafter he died.
Really?
Yes, and apparently he didn't respect the one-hour rule related to dead snake, venomous snake heads, and the snake got his revenge.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a one-hour rule.
See? Don't mess. Yeah.
So you cut off a snake's head, and yes, it still can be active for an hour.
Yes.
Is the snake still really alive?
Well, I don't know if he's, like, thinking like alive, but perhaps he's got that reflex still ready to go.
Wow.
And big news out of Oregon, I have to say, on a more serious note, a Supreme Court ruling about cruelty to animals. And some animals who are treated cruelly are now able to be considered as individuals and as victims. So instead of regarding them as a group of animals that was abused, each animal can be named as an individual, and the animal cruelty charges can be leveled for each animal. So this is a higher legal status for these victims of cruelty. And the fact that you can call them victims is quite incredible. So that's a big step in
Oregon. So the charges would be additive for each individual that was tortured or neglected.
Right.
Wow, that's great.
For instance, this case, the person who was convicted, there were 20 individual counts of second-degree animal neglect rather than just sort of a global thing.
Right. Very good. Good step.
And in Mexico, do you know, the state and city bans of the use of animals in circuses is just expanding incredibly. So they are actually taking the lead in banning the use of live animals in circuses. And now Mexico City has adopted this ban.
Wow.
So who'd have thunk it?
Who would have thunk? Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.